Named after the mechanism that separates the sweet wort from the spent grain, False Bottom Girls helps you filter through the wonderful yet sometimes confusing world of beer.
Hey, I'm Rachel Hudson, head brewer and co-owner of Pilot Brewing and an advanced cicerone.
Hi, I'm Jen Blair, master cicerone, home brewer, and sensory expert. False Bottom Girls is proudly sponsored by Jasper Yeast, yeasts that are out of this world. Learn more about Jasper Yeast at jasperyeast.com. Mm-hmm.
Welcome
to Aura.
Welcome to False Bottom Girls, the ASMR episode.
Please make sure that you are not driving or operating machinery while listening to this podcast.
Because it's going to be boring. No.
What is wrong with us? That's what the meditation app says. So they're like, disclaimer, don't drive while I meditate. Okay.
Yeah. The first thing you do is tell me to close my eyes. Got it.
I like to think outside the box.
Right. So, welcome everyone to False Bottom Girls, not the ASMR edition, not a meditation. Maybe it's a meditation on organizations.
Yes, sure.
Volunteer
organizations. A how-to.
Or a guide.
Yes. Or how not to. Or a guide not.
Right. A how not guide. No, just kidding. So today we're going to be talking about the BJCP program, the Beer Judge Certification Program, because it's one of those things that, you know, Rachel and I were talking about potential topics. And, you know, it occurred to me, like, we've had a couple of episodes, like, just about Cicerone, you know, our Cicerone study and Cicerone journey, all of that. And we've bitched a lot about the BJCP, but we've never actually talked about the, you know, the structure and how the BJCP for most people, for a lot of people, is the path into beer judging. And, you know, you kind of start out doing homebrew, and then, you know, when you get enough experience, then, you know, you can get invited to do professional competitions. But for a lot of people, the BJCP competitions, becoming a BJCP beer judge, is the, like, the pathway to beer judging.
Definitely not the only pathway. And I,
right. If you were a dude who owned a brewery in 2010, you'd still get to be a GABF judge despite any other qualifications.
No, it's like, I just don't want anyone to think like, oh, they have to subject themselves to BJCP to be a judge. You don't have to. However, the way the program is set up, it does make things easier for you to get opportunities to judge, which you need to have experience to judge if you're going to apply for GABF. So, like, lately, I've been getting a lot of questions like, how can I apply, you know, be a GABF judge or beer judge? And, you know, one of the reasons we want to do this episode is like, yeah, explaining the BJC program for sure is important, so you know, but understanding that, like, you can't just apply to be a GABF judge because you're a brewer,
right?
Or because you're a brewery owner. You can,
right? But
true.
Yeah,
and you know what?
You're going to be on the wait list.
But yeah, yeah, you do have to, like, they want you to have experience judging, they want you to be able to provide references from people that you've judged with, and like three of them, so you know, they're. But yeah, I have noticed that it can be really hard to find ways to judge if you're not part of BJCP.
Right. And that's something that, first of all, I mean, I think it's probably pretty obvious we're not endorsed or affiliated with BJCP beyond the fact that we're both BJCP judges.
I have a love-hate relationship, basically.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, I value the content for what people are learning about, and because there's so much testing evolved around it, I hate the lack of, I mean, they're a volunteer organization, whatever, but it's like guarded in a sense.
It's very gatekeepy. Right. I will say in recent years that has started to change, and that started to change because there have been people who are like, yes, I agree with this. I'm going to run for a board seat. I had run for a board seat at one time. and, you know, who are like making those changes from within. So I do see some positive changes. And kind of similar with you, I have a love-hate relationship with it. You know, I know a lot of the people in the BJCP leadership. I think they're great people. You know, I've met a lot of super cool people through the program and through judging. But yeah, there are some frustrations. And like Rachel mentioned, like we'll talk about, like if you ask anything slightly, maybe like, hey, BJCP, could you do this better? There's a very small but very vocal group of people who will jump on any comment thread and hijack it about how everyone is just volunteers. And if you don't like it, you need to volunteer too. So that's kind of where, you know, for me, it's just like, yeah, but you're like, you lean on the whole we're all volunteers thing only when people are saying like, hey, it's taken 6 months for me to get my exam results back. You know, that like that kind of thing. So yeah, I'm the same way. It's done so much for me. And I was actually talking to somebody about this the other day because they're interested in starting to study for their certified beer server. Mm-hmm. And actually they were already like, okay, so like talk to me about the advanced exam. Right. So, you know, they're really ambitious. And I told them, do the BJCP at the same time you're doing CICERONE. And I tell everyone who is pursuing some kind of CICERONE certification, you need to get involved with the BJCP. And I don't necessarily, if somebody's like involved in the BJCP and they ask like, hey, should I do the CICERONE program too? I'm more like, oh, let's talk about your goals, right? Like that may not be the investment that's worth your time. But anytime somebody's studying for CICERONE, I'm like, get involved with the BJCP because you're going to get, like you said, tons of judging opportunities. And yeah, so anyway, I'll just kind of dive into it because the other thing is, you know, this is an organization that started like back in the 80s and...
By the same people that run it now?
Not necessarily, but yes, I would not be surprised. And you know, the BJCP, it's funny. I don't know how many like mean girls aficionados we have out there, but I made a graphic once that was, you know, all of the girls in the auditorium when Tina Fey says, raise your hand if you've been personally victimized by Regina George. And it said, raise your hand if you've been personally victimized by the BJCP website.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to figure out how to become a beer judge, what's required of each level, how do you get, you know, experience. It's just like you have to just kind of fumble around until you find it.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's very much just like
they have a
nude board.
Yes, they have updated their website to be more modern. First of all, the old website, I actually know one of the people who helped build it because it looks like something he would build. You know what I mean? Like when he's the kind of person who puts like yellow text on a red background, you know? So I definitely like, you could look at the website and I was like, oh yeah, I know who did this part. And it was, you know, and again, I get it. Like, particularly if you've had a website from back in the day, you know, now you kind of have a website that's cobbled together rather than just rebuilding an entirely new website. So the BJCP website used to be not easy to navigate. It's a little bit better now, but it's also one of those things where you have to know where to go to find some things. And once you do, there's a lot of information on there. But if you don't know that it's there, you don't know where to go to look because it's just not that intuitive. So the BJCP, like I said, Beer Judge Certification Program. It's a nonprofit, and its mission statement is that it encourages the advancement of education of people who are concerned with the evaluation of beer, mead, and cider. So the BJCP kind of grew out of homebrewing. And I think this, you know, kind of makes sense because who is and who was the majority of homebrewers is going to be, you know, people with expendable income, with the, you know, the privilege of time. You can spend your entire weekend homebrewing. And, you know, because you've got, you have the time, you have the space to be able to do that. You can afford your home brewing equipment. So all of that to say that middle, upper middle white men, class white men are usually who is that demographic of home brewers.
Sure.
And I say that because, you know, with the whole like American exceptionalism thing that like we've all kind of been taught since we were born, like this is what it means to be an American. It should not be surprising that, you know, like a group of men take this hobby and are like, how can I compete? How, you know, like this hobby is a lot of fun, but I need the validation that I am brewing the best.
I understand.
Right.
I resonate.
How can I win home brewing as a hobby?
And then how do I keep winning?
Right. So you know, that started for people to be able to come together and evaluate their homebrew. And that's also how the BJCP guidelines got started, is they wanted to do that and was like, okay, but if we're going to do these competitions, you know, started up in New England around kind of like the Boston area. And so if we're going to have competitions, then we need something to be able to judge by. So the BJCP started in 1985. The BJCP is younger than I am.
And hey.
Yeah, but it was started by the Home Wine and Beer Trade Association and the American Homebrewers Association, the AHA. But in 1995, so from 1985 to 1995, yeah, it was part of the AHA and then also this Home Wine and Beer Trade Association.
Huh.
So in 1995, the BJCP became an independent organization. So they... you could probably guess by the name, they certify and rank beer judges through a series of exams and also a like monitoring process. And one of the things that I really appreciate, and I appreciate it because of the skills that it's given me, but the overachiever in me finds it very frustrating that I can't just like walk into BJCP, take a test and get a rank. You know, the way that like you can with Cicerone. And I'm not saying, you know, like, oh, we just walked into the advanced and walked into the master and got it. No.
Yeah. Walked in a couple times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, actually, no, that is true. I did just walk in and take
just a lot. Just took times. Just made a few visits.
Right. But the BJCP, to be able to advance in rank, you have to have a mix of exam scores and experience points. And most of your experience points are going to come from judging. So I think that's great if you live in an area, like you were saying, Rachel, if you live in an area where those opportunities are available.
Sure.
I have, you know, I have like a friend who lives in Montana who's like, there's not that many opportunities to judge in BJCP sanctioned competitions. There's not that many exams near me. So it's harder for people if you don't live in areas where there's kind of a more active BJCP chapter. So I can see how that can be frustrating because let's say like you do live in Montana and you get one opportunity a year to judge in a BJCP sanctioned competition. Yeah. You have to have at least 5 points to be a recognized beer judge. So that can take you 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're willing to travel to different places, which I've done. But obviously not everybody has that ability.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's 6 official ranks within the BJCP. There's kind of 7. They have a provisional judge designation, which is someone who has taken the online exam but hasn't passed the beer judging exam. So they haven't been assigned a judge ID. I'll get into that.
Which is the first step. Like, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Right. And that's the process of becoming a judge and moving up through the ranks is where there seems to be a lot of gatekeeping. And what you discover as you're going through kind of learning about the BJCP is that they're very hierarchical, right? And that's just the way it's built. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think some of the ranks, there's a good deal of overlap. Like, I don't think that there necessarily need to be six ranks. I think that that could probably be collapsed down, but nobody asked me. So the six official ranks within the BJCP are apprentice, recognized, certified, national, master, and grandmaster. So each level, except for the very first level, just taking the online entrance exam, you can attain it by some level or some combination of experience points and exam scores. There are three exams, BJCP exams, that help determine the rank or help determine your rank. So the first one is the BJCP Beer Judge Entrance Examination. This is, I mean, it's been almost 10 years since I've taken that online exam, but I do recall that it was very similar to the Certified Beer Server exam as Cicerone. And that's kind of why, you know, when I was studying, I was just like, well, why don't I just do BJCP at the same time? Because this entrance exam, you're kind of studying the same material.
Mm-hmm.
So that's your first exam. And that one, I'll get a little bit more into that one. So your online exam is, like I mentioned, is the first step to becoming a BJCP ranked beer judge. And when we're talking about being BJCP ranked, that means that you have a judge number. So if you know, that's how the BJCP tracks you once you have your judge number. That's how you get your experience points, all of that. So the online entrance exam is 180 questions, and you have 60 minutes to answer that. And one reason why I always encourage people doing Cicerone to do BJCP is, a very big reason is because BJCP is much less expensive than any kind of Cicerone certification. So for your online exam, the cost is $10, or you can purchase three attempts for $20. And that's usually what I tell people to do, because, you know, it's $10 more, and then you can take it. It's kind of like what we said about Certified Beer Server. If you pass it the first time, great. But if you don't, you already have another attempt. And in the case of the BJCP, you already have two attempts that you can kind of be like, okay, this is what the exam is like. I can kind of go back and tailor my studying for this, and then retake it. So I do really like that. And I always tell people, just buy the three retake option. So you have to pass this online entrance exam prior to taking the BJCP beer judging exam. So what you get when you pass, and I guess I should also say that they used to expressly say, like, this is open book. But as anybody who's done an open book exam knows, like, having an open book exam doesn't mean you don't have to study, right? Yeah. Like, the open book exam is, you pretty much know all of the material, and maybe you just have to go look up one or two things, right?
And it was timed, yeah? Or
yeah, so it's, yeah, you're so, on a 60-minute
yeah,
timer.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, and they have the same mechanisms where if you're not sure about a question, you can mark it to review later and come back to it.
That's right.
And
that.
Yeah, so for me, that was, you know, I could go through kind of the first time and answer everything I knew. And then, like, the ones I just really didn't know, I had time to look them up and in the BJCP style guidelines. And, you know, then I still had time left that I could go back to the ones that I wasn't quite sure about and just double check. So it is an open book exam, but if you don't know the subject matter, that being open book is not going to help you.
Yeah.
And the exam questions are not written by professional educators. And I'm not saying that like as a diss, but they're not well, there's a lot of not well written questions. And, you know, there is an art to writing a test question. And yeah, a lot of the questions are very, just kind of strike me as hubris. Like, yeah, I've taken a multiple choice exam before. I know how to write a multiple choice question. It's like, no, there's, you know, it's kind of, it's a different thing. And the I have had people like send me screenshots of questions and they're like, I don't even know what this is asking. And one reason they don't know why what they're asking is because there are, or at least there used to be, several questions that unnecessarily used technical terms. It's not well written. It was written by people who don't know how to write good exams and people who are also trying to gatekeep. And so I'll use technical jargon rather than, you know, just simple yeah. stuff, right? Right. And anyway, I have thoughts about that. So what you get when you pass the BJCP online exam is you're able to take the next exam, which is the BJCP beer judging exam. A lot of times I just call it the tasting exam. It's tasting exam, written exam. You also get a certificate of completion. So if you are registered for a tasting exam for that second level, you have to have that certificate of completion to be able to show your administrator of the exam that, yes, I have passed this first level. You don't get a BJCP judge ID. That's your BJCP judge ID, like I said, is used to track your scores and your experience points. However, when you do get your judge ID, they will go back, I think, through the previous year or so and look at competition records and give you points. So if you
possibly, I'll tell you, I had that written down as a point to bring up because I didn't want anyone to be like, oh, I've judged all these competitions, I won't get points for them, so what does it matter? You know, like, because I remember judging homebrew competitions when I worked at Hardywood, like 2011, 2012 time. And I didn't, the only reason I even signed up for BJCP or it's when Pilot opened 2018 around that time, because I was studying for maybe even 19 or 20. It's whenever you hosted yeah. the test at Pilot.
Yeah, that was 2021.
Yeah. So I was, you know, used it as a tool to study for Cicerone, basically was my thought process. So I was like, yeah, let me do it real quick so I can take, I wanted to take your tasting exam. So Jen was hosting one of those exams at Pilot. In order to take it, you got to pass the online. So I went and did that. And thus I'm in the program now. So they retroacted all those points. All
oh,
the
did they really?
To
oh, that's awesome. First,
because I remember being like, oh, wow, like that's impressive that you...
Yeah,
had that
I didn't realize they went that far back. Yeah, I knew they did it for at least a year.
Awesome. I have no idea what they do now. I mean, this was years ago, but there you might very well get points for past competitions if you help judge, because you don't have to be BJCP judge to judge homebrew competitions.
Right.
Like you, like just to be clear, you know, like this is a pathway and this is a great way to find out about those yes. homebrew competitions. But if one's happening down the street and you work at, you know, you're in the industry, you this is your jam and you get invited to judge, by all means, go judge.
Right.
You don't have to be signed up. And if later on down the road you want to get signed up, good chance you're going to get credit for that. I also recently found out, which I guess I should have known, but I don't really pay attention that much, right? So I was recently looking for my BJCP number because of Africa, because I was like, well, let me, now that I'm judging more, let me go ahead and get these points. And then I learned through that process that Great American Beer Festival, although they use the Brewers Association guidelines to judge beer, is BJCP sanctioned. Mm-hmm. So you get points for that, which I didn't know. So now I got to go back and get my points. So every once in a while, I get this little update that, oh, you are now BJCP certified, I think is what I am right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, fantastic. Like, yeah. Like I'm not taking tests. I'm just like, oh, collecting right. points. Cause there are both ways to rank yes. up, like you said. But yeah, didn't mean to interrupt. Just wanted to throw that out there. Like you didn't have, if you're worried about, oh, what's the point now? No. You can still get all those points.
Yeah, that's a really, I didn't realize that they went that far back. So that's yeah. awesome. I mean, I knew that I think I had only judged maybe a couple of times before I became certified and they also,
yeah.
Before I became recognized and they also yeah. went back and added those on. So I think that's also a good idea is just somewhere kind of keep track where you've judged in BJCP sanctioned competitions. So
yeah.
All it means when a competition is BJCP sanctioned is you're going to get points. You're going yeah. to get BJCP points for participating in that competition. And you, like, for competition organizers, you have to apply to be BJCP sanctioned. Yeah. So I don't remember off the top of my head, like, there are requirements of, like, what you need to do to, mm-hmm. you know, meet the criteria to be BJCP sanctioned. But yeah, like most, obviously, like almost all homebrew competitions are BJCP sanctioned, yeah. but Great American Beer Festival, FOBAB,
yep.
World Beer Cup, I shouldn't say all of those. Most of those are also BJCP sanctioned. So you do get points for that. So back to our online exam, the format is designed to test your knowledge of beer styles, beer characteristics, and the brewing process. So you have, you know, kind of like 20 seconds per question. And like I mentioned, you are able to skip questions. So there is the exam is a mixture of multiple choice, true, false, and multiple answer. So the best resources for BJCP, obviously BJCP study guidelines. The BJCP also has a beer exam study guide that's really helpful, and the BJCP judge procedures, because the BJCP, you will also have a certain amount of questions in the entrance exam and on the written exam about the BJCP and its governance. So their judge procedures guide is really good for that. Another thing that I really like about the BJCP, like I said, as it being less expensive, is all three of those things are available for free, right? Mm-hmm. You just don't have to pay as much money or kind of invest as much in learning materials as you do with Cicerone.
And there is an app, which is different for iPhone and Android users, correct? Like for the app for BJCP, if you are an iPhone, you download the Beer Styles app. But I believe for Android, I could be wrong about this. I don't know why I think this, but I believe it's a BJCP app for Android.
Yes. Well, that's because the BJCP does not have its own app. That's not from the BJCP. Those are two different app designers. Or maybe it's one, maybe it's the same one, but it is the beer, what is it called? Like Beer Styles.
Beer Styles for the iPhone is what I use. And it has lots of sets of guidelines, including the current BJCP, as old BJCP ones too. But that's what I go to regularly, especially judging these days, because you will find that less and less, you know, when you sit down to judge, you'll be given a description of the style, because the job is to judge the beer to that description. So a lot of times you end up pulling out your phone because, you know, we're trying to cut down on paper and all that jazz, but
right.
Good resource for learning and for judging.
Yes, I do encourage you, if you're studying for BJCP and or for Cicerone, and I know this is not what you're saying. Get a hard copy of the guidelines, because there are things in the guidelines that aren't included in the app.
For sure. For sure.
And also, you know, like hard copy stuff, just that physical holding and reading is going to help with your retention. But yeah, most of the time now, I remember when I started judging, which was less than 10 years ago, you know, you went to the competition and they had like the binders of the beer styles for everybody. And now it's moving more and more towards online. So a lot of times, particularly for homebrew competitions, like Rachel said, you know, it saves money, it saves paper to just tell people, like, please download this app to your phone and use that for judging purposes. And like in professional competitions, like JBF, World Beer Cup, like Rachel mentioned, they use their own Brewers Association guidelines. There's not an app for that. So when you do go to judge those competitions, they give you their printed out guidelines to use. Like I mentioned, you have for each level, there is a set of requirements. There's a minimum score you need to get for your tasting exam to get each level. And then there's also a certain amount of experience points that you get for each level. And I won't go through all of them, but basically once you take the BJCP tasting exam, that's when you will get a judge ID. You will mm-hmm. have your BJCP rank. And anecdotally, there is technically an apprentice level, which is you've taken the tasting exam and like you didn't even get a 60 on.
Okay. That was my next question. Like what happens if you don't do well, like, but you're still in, you got a number.
Yes. You're an apprentice. You're not like an official rank.
Gotcha.
But I've graded, I've been a grader for the BJCP for a few years now. And they really try to, well, depending on the grader, will try to find points for people so they are at least recognized, and not giving somebody a rank that they don't deserve, but yeah, be a recognized judge. You have to get a 60 on the tasting. And, you know, there is some, like the way the score sheet scoring breaks down, I'm sorry, the like the BJCP score sheet, the way that breaks down, like there are, you know, you get points if you didn't write too big. You know, you get points if you've made sure to give everything.
Did you just say if you didn't write too big?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can't, because you also get scored on like how many blank lines do you have left? And they say specifically, and this is, there is a grader handbook that the BJCP has that is also free to download. And honestly, reading how the grading goes was probably the most beneficial thing for me in taking the exams. But, you know, it's, they want to make sure you're writing enough and you're writing a complete description, and you can't really write a complete description if, you know, for flavor, you have 8 lines to write on and you write on 3, right?
No, I understand.
You haven't written that. But at the same time, since you get points for kind of filling out the score sheet, you know, we're told like, you can't just write really big, you know, so you can't be like,
no,
I'll fill up all the lines and just by writing really big. And it's no, we're told to look for stuff like that. But you have to get at least a 60 to become a recognized BJCP judge on that tasting exam. So if you want to, basically it's like 60, 70, 80, and like 80 is kind of the highest tasting exam score that you need to get to be able to go through the rest of the levels. So like once you have an 80 on the exam, you can still, you know, you can still be master, you can still be grandmaster. It's going to be a lot harder because that just means that you need a high score, you know, like a higher score in your written exam. But you could be a grandmaster judge and have an 80 on the tasting exam.
I think that's what I got.
Yeah. 100, if you're 80, you're certified, right?
Yeah.
No. Are you national?
You know what? I honestly certified. Don't fucking know. Yeah. Last time I heard anything, I'm pretty sure I'm certified, but I know I got 80 on that thing.
Okay.
So I just remember being like, oh, I got 80. And you were like, that's really good. And I was like, yay. My food's on.
So once you get past certified, if you want to be nationally ranked and move national, master, grandmaster, you have to take the written exam. There's also, for each one of these levels, there are a total amount of experience points you need. And the experience points can be judging points or they can be non-judging points. But to advance in rank, they will designate, like, if you have 50 total experience points, you know, like 30 of them have to be from judging.
Got it.
And that's also to, you know, get people to be judging.
Judges. Yeah, you want experience. Your judges up there to be judges. Like, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So they don't want people to just like, oh, well, I'll just get a bunch of non-judging points and then I can be a grandmaster. No, you have to have a certain number of your experience points from.
Yeah, because if you're not judging, what's the whole point of any of this?
Right. So yeah, you can't like game the system and get up to grandmaster and be like, I've never actually judged in my life.
Yeah, that would be pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. So experience points are earned. I haven't checked with this because as of the time we've recorded this, the AHA has, the American Home Brewers Association, has filed to become an independent organization from the Brewers Association. So I'm not sure how this is going to go with the BJCP, but at least in the past, you could get experience points by participating in some AHA activities. So like if you attend HomebrewCon, you get a certain amount of points. If you speak at HomebrewCon, you get a certain amount of points, you know, so there are some, but HomebrewCon doesn't exist anymore. So, you know, I don't know if it's like, if you go to World Beer Cup, but like JBF or something, do you get points? Probably not. They probably don't want to be like, hey, you shoot up and drink too much points.
Yeah.
So the judging points, as you would imagine, are earned for actually judging in a registered competition. And that does include best of show judging. And if you're a best of show judge, you get extra points for that.
Oh,
so that's one reason why anytime I'm at a home comp and they're like, hey, do you want to do best of show? I'm like, yeah, because you get like a couple more points if you're doing a couple more points on top of the points that you all already got for judging.
Nice.
So your non-judging points you can get from stewarding or like serving or assisting in a competition. So if you've been at a, or even if you've been in a professional competition, you know, you've got your steward who brings the beers to the table, who kind of watches the flow, who gets you what you need. So you can earn non-judging points by doing those things. Or if you administer or assist with a BJCP exam. And they have this bullet point that says, you know, you can get the non-judging points if you participate in a continuing education program, such as HomebrewCon. I do not know if this is, you know, correlation is not causation, but when I was doing my beer judge training, I submitted that to the BJCP to be able to like, hey, if people complete this training, can they get continued learning credits, you know, or points, non-judging points for participating in my continued learning program? And rather than respond to me shortly afterward, they announced that they weren't going to be giving people points for participating in continuing education programs because there were like too many programs out there.
Programs.
Yeah. So again, gatekeeping, this is kind of, you know, that's a leadership thing. That's not the entire organization anyway. So with the BJCP beer judging exam, this is the tasting exam, right? Both the tasting exam and the written exam are intense because you have your beer judging exam is in person and it consists of completing score sheets for 6 different beers within 90 minutes. And that breaks down to 15 minutes per beer.
Let's back up. This is the tasting exam.
Yes.
Okay. So you take the online. Now this is the tasting exam.
Yep.
I don't really remember, I guess, but I feel like I only remember writing like a paragraph or a page about each beer.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're given a score sheet and it's like the BJCP exam score sheet, which is different from the score sheets you get when you go to a judging
competition. Got it. Okay.
So yeah, so you fill out, I almost said you just, it is not just, you fill out a complete score sheet. They bring out the beers every 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean that you have to stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
And go to the next beer. But generally speaking, you want to be done or finishing up with that score sheet before the next beer comes out.
I remember that part.
Yeah. And you know, I've been there where like I get the first beer and I complete it, you know, kind of early and was like, I don't need to worry about these. And then by like beer three, I'm still like on mouthfeel or something when the next beer comes. I'm like, fuck. So it is very intense. After you take the tasting exam, you get a BJCP judge number. So if you pass the tasting exam, you can get a rank of recognized or certified. That's the highest you can go with taking the exam. Even if you got 100% on your tasting exam, the highest you're going to rank is going to be certified. Now, what that means, though, is, well, one, you'll have to take the written exam. But also, once you've taken the written exam, and then you, let's say you did get 100% on your tasting exam, right? Once you do take that, and then you take your written exam, you'll have a score, right? But maybe you don't have the experience points. So you're still going to be considered certified until you get those experience points. But once you have those experience points, let's say you got a 90 on your written exam, right? So your average is 95, then you're automatically a master, right? So your test scores.
Which skips national.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can skip national. And I mean, I guess if you had enough points, technically you could skip master and go straight to grandmaster, but it would be extremely weird for somebody to get to grandmaster that way. Some benefits, some detriments to the program. The biggest benefit is judging is the best way to improve your palate and your evaluation skills. Nothing
it really
you
is.
Know, sitting at home by yourself, filling out a score sheet, that's fine. that's not the same as showing up at a judge table, having to talk with other judges and work out what your scores are. And, you know, having those discussions like, well, is this medium bodied or full bodied? You know, just stuff like that. And it's nothing can replace actually judging in a competition. The, like I mentioned, the BJCP is far more affordable than, you know, than the Cicerone program, than WSET. And advancement requires active participation and real world experience. And like, I know with, you know, with doing Cicerone stuff, like keeping and serving was always the area where I felt and I know that's where I have the least amount of experience. Mm-hmm. So I could read a lot of theory, but I didn't have a lot of hands-on experience. And, you know, I made it up through the master level with not having a lot of that hands-on experience. And I still don't have a ton of experience with it, but, you know, like I've purchased, you know, couplers and things like that to work on it on my own. You know, it is possible to get like all the way through something like Master Cicerone without working in the beer industry, you know, without hands-on experience.
Sure. Yeah. Anything's possible.
I mean, the tasting exam would be difficult, but you know, for the written stuff, just the theory stuff. So that's one of the things that I really, really like about the BJCP is as frustrating as it can be to try to get those points, I understand why I'm getting those points, you know, like and the points for me are ancillary to the actual experience. I probably wouldn't be judging if I wasn't getting points, but once I get there, it's like, okay, this is, I'm going to learn 8 different ways not to make a Kolsch, you know? So you learn a lot. The detriments, like I mentioned, it's volunteer led. There's limited resources and experience. You're going to have a long wait time for exam results. The longest I've waited was 9 months for a tasting exam, which really sucks because with the tasting exams, they're limited to 12 people per exam. And like you can have a larger exam, but you have to clear it with them first. So basically 12 people per exam, they only allow so many exams per month. And that includes international exams. And I understand that's to help with that bottleneck of getting exams graded. But if, you know, you go to register an exam and there's like 8 exams in foreign countries, maybe you don't get to register your exam in the US. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I feel like there should be like international exams are one thing, domestic exams are another thing, but I understand that that would increase the workload. And everything is still handwritten. So, you know, when I get like a set of tasting exams or written exams to grade, I'm trying to read handwriting. And I'm trying to read handwriting of somebody who is under immense time pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as someone who's been there, I know how bad that handwriting
is. Right. And like I said, you know, I have been a grader for a few years. I always try to get mine turned around really quickly. And when they send out the exams, they will say, you know, there's 2 people who grade the exams. You grade them separately, put your scores together. They'll say like, please have your consensus scores by this date. And then like your final scores a week later. And I mean, I've had exams where I get the exam set to grade like 3 months after the exam took place because the exam director didn't realize he didn't hit send on the email. So like, you know, like right away, it's like whoever took that exam, they've already been sitting there 3 months thinking that people are grading their exams and nobody has looked at their exams. I graded a set that was from South America. So it did have to be translated and I understand that, but I was grading an exam in 2023 that had taken place in 2021. So there is a very long wait time for exam results. And that's what I tell people. I just did a tasting exam here in Atlanta a few months ago. And I was like, just forget you ever took this. And like, because you're going to forget you took it. And you're going to just one day get an email several months down the road. And actually, I think they got their results in less than 4 months.
Wow. Which,
yeah. So again, when I say that there are newer people into the organization, there has been a very big push. And I believe their new goal is to turn exams around in 90 days. it seems like they're not at that 90-day point, but they're you can tell that they are putting in the effort. And as a grader, you know, I get the emails that are like, okay, we have this many sets to grade. You know, this is how many sets are kind of in process. The flip side of that, you know, I always try to get everything done by the deadlines, and I've been paired with graders before that are in no hurry and will say like, nobody expects to get their exams back for 6 months. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to grade the exams. And if you don't have time to do it, just don't do it. You know, like they will get the email saying like, hey, we need graders. And if I'm available, I'll take a set. If I'm not, I don't.
Yeah.
Easy enough. But there can be long wait times for exam results. Like I mentioned, I think there's a lack of testing best practices. I think, like I mentioned, overly technical language, things that are just not well written, and not that the people, not well written because they don't know what they're talking about, but not well written because you don't write exams for a living, right? Also, lots of gatekeeping, I should say perceived gatekeeping. When I pointed that out to the BJCP leadership, the response I got was, well, nobody has told us about gatekeeping. I'm like, yeah, because you're the gatekeeper. What are they telling you? you know, there's a lack of accessible tasting exams. There's lack of available seats for tasting exams. And depending on where you live, there can be lack of opportunities to gain necessary judging points. Those are kind of a detriment. Some other hurdles. Like I mentioned, the monthly allowance of testing sites is small and fills up months in advance. It includes international and domestic sites, which make the, you know, your if you live in the United States, that makes it harder for you to be able to have the opportunities to take an exam. And if you have to wait 9 months to get your results back, you're already into like the next year before you can find an available exam, right? And I think that's one of the bigger detriments with that time, is that people get out of the habit of studying because you just took that exam. And then, you know, 9 months later, you find out like you didn't get the score you thought. So you're going to need to take it again. And it's like, well, but I haven't been studying. Like I didn't keep studying just in case, right? I say that as somebody who's retaking my BJCP written exam in 2 weeks and have not studied for it. And, you know, some of the other hurdles, there's logistics involved, such as inviting proctors, getting proctor approval from the BJCP, finding a site, preparing and pouring samples. And for me, you're supposed to have at least three judges, or not judges, sorry, proctors. And they name it weird. So if you are doing the exam, you're the administrator. You're not the proctor. The proctors are the people, they have to be at least national ranked judges. And they essentially take the test alongside the candidates. And the main difference being that they have access to BJCP style guidelines during the exam. When they're finished, the judges will, you know, reach a consensus score. I have been in exams before where I can tell that one proctor just like dominated the other proctor. Also why I do not invite that judge to proctor any of my exams, even though he's local and people have asked why he's not included. Because I don't think you're a good proctor. That's why. So, you know, being able to find enough proctors with that rank can be really hard, particularly if you live in an area where there's not that many other judges. It can be really difficult, and they want them to be at least national rank. There is a process. If I was doing an exam and I wanted Rachel to be a judge, I could say, you know, she owns a brewery. She's got all these medals. She's an advanced Cicerone. She, like, I am confident that she would do a good job. There is an approval process for not having a national BJCP ranked proctor. Usually I just end up with two proctors because one of them always drops out. But generally speaking, it can be difficult to find proctors and then also get the BJCP to approve those proctors. The number of seats available is small. Like I said, it's no more than 12 people per exam. Who gets a seat is up to the exam administrator. And administrators will often organize exams for like their homebrew clubs or a specific group. And they're sometimes hesitant to allow kind of outsiders, others, to have a seat. I have lots of experiences trying to get a seat on tasting exams. And communication with exam administrators can be difficult for a lot of reasons. And the BJCP largely just opts out of facilitating communication. If you go to the website, they will say, don't contact us about exams, contact the exam administrator. One of my experiences with trying to get a seat on a tasting exam, I emailed the exam administrator, hey, I would like a seat. Do you have any seats available? Don't hear anything. Email again. Hey, I would like to take the exam. Do you have seats available? Don't hear anything. I have my husband email. Hey, I'd like to take the exam. Do you have any seats available? Within an hour, he had a response that was like, yeah, we do. And he's like, great. My wife wants a seat. Here's her name. That happens a lot. You know, and I do get, as somebody who has organized tasting exams before, like when I did the one at Pilot, when I do the ones in Atlanta, or I did one of the ones in Atlanta after the beer judging training that I did. So yeah, I wanted people who had done my beer training to have seats if they wanted them, but I still accepted anybody who emailed me and said, can I have a seat? Because I know how frustrating that is to get ignored. And, you know, for me, it was like, okay, well, I'm having an exam. This exam is open to anybody. If you want a seat, you need to sign up and have a seat. And if it gets taken by other people who also want to take this exam, that's on you, right? You know, and this is something that I, in my beer judge training, I know that this has happened to some of the people who have taken that training. Same thing, they don't get a response. And every time it happens and I hear about it, I'm like, email the BJCP, because the BJCP leadership says that this does not happen. Email them every single time it happens. And one of the people in my training did that. And like the, you know, the president of the BJCP emailed the exam administrator and was like, why aren't you answering this person? Oh, I lost her email. Emails don't get lost. Right. So that can be really hard, is just trying to get a seat. So, and I will wrap this up. Once you've taken the tasting exam and you've gotten at least an 80, then you are eligible to take the written exam. The written exam is also 90 minutes. It's, I believe it's 5 essay questions, and it is fucking brutal. Think about, it's not as brutal as the Master Cicerone exam, but it is kind of a similar, you have like whatever 5 divided by 90 is. I don't know math, but there's literally no way of finding that out. But you know, you have a limited amount of time for each essay. Now, one of the things that I really like about the BJCP in terms of test taking is for the written exam, the BJCP has a set pool of questions that they will ask. You know, out of all of these questions, you will get asked one of these questions. And, you know, they break it down by like ingredients. Here's the 5 ingredient questions you might be asked. And you know, you will be asked one of those. So you go into it already knowing what you could potentially be asked. And that is very helpful because you can go through, like, you know, I have pages of essays that I've written, you know, over and over, like trying to get quicker at it and that sort of thing. And people will do that for the written exam. Like the biggest challenge is trying to get all that information on the paper in the time you're allowed. But you do go into it knowing exactly what questions you're going to be asked. And I do like that.
So where could you find those questions?
If you go to exams and certification, beer judge program, and then beer exam study guide, and it covers each level of the exam and kind of what you'll need to know. So in that study guide is where they say, here's the bank of questions that you will have for the written exam. Then once you've taken the written exam, you can, and you get, I believe I said it's like at least, it's at least an 80 on the tasting. They average your tasting and your written exam scores. So you need at least a 90 to be master. And then after that, there's several levels of grandmaster, which is really their way of, like, Sandy Cockerham, the current BJCP president and the highest ranked judge, who's a woman. I think she's like grandmaster 15 or something. So those ranks are there to incentivize judges to keep being involved in the program. And you have to, they're called like GSMR. So it's like general service requirements. I don't know. It's there's special requirements once you're master to be grandmaster, but it's still a mixture of exams and or like judging and experience points. So a lot of master or grandmaster judges will move up in rank just by dint of like grading a lot of exams. And that's kind of done like once you get that master rank, you don't need to take any more exams to be able to move up to grandmaster and then move up through the ranks. Your girl is currently sitting at an 89 as my composite score, which is where I have been for, I don't know, several years now. I have a lot of feelings about that. But I decided, you know what, I'll just retake the written test and see how I do. It's kind of like one of those things where every few years I'm like, yeah, I guess I should try to get that one more point so I can become master. But I just don't because, like I mentioned, there's a lot of gatekeeping and it's like, I don't know how much I really want to like put myself out if
yeah,
they're not, you know.
Let's type up the test and submit it with binding codes and we'll go take it from right. there.
Yes, perfect. Yeah, I love that idea. But yeah, when it comes to grading, your score is going to depend upon who you have as your grader. Mm-hmm. It's also going to depend on who your exam administrator is because each exam goes through like three sets of reviews. So your score kind of changes as it goes. I think generally speaking, after kind of the first level grading is done and it goes up higher, they're not going to lower anyone's scores, but they may increase people's scores. Yeah. So they have a few different levels of grading and review that happens at the first level grading. It is blind. You do have a blinding code. And I guess technically for the written it is too, but the people who are doing that second and third level review know exactly whose exam they're looking at. Maybe that has an impact on some scores. Maybe it doesn't. The last thing I'll say about the actual examination process is you might see references to like legacy judges. Yeah, around like 2010, they revamped the program and the process for, you know, tasting and written. It used to be one big exam where like you would just be writing and somebody would just come and like put a beer sample in front of you and like you would have to switch and do the tasting. They changed the program. They made it harder for people to advance. Basically, they made it harder and pulled up the ladder behind them is what my perception is, because the amount of work and kind of experience points that you needed before 2010 is not at all the same level of difficulty as it is now. I also have my theories about why that is, but that's how you can get going through that process is how you will get your BJCP ID and also how you can move up in rank. And like Rachel mentioned, having that BJCP ID is important to find out about other competitions. Once you're a BJCP ranked judge, you go into a database. When people are putting on competitions, they will ask the BJCP, like, give me this radius of beer judges. So they will pull all the people in that radius. That's how you get the judge invitation.
Yeah, I get emails all the time that I can never do, but.
Yeah, well, and sometimes I'll get them from like really far away, which makes me think they said, like, just send me everybody. On the BJCP website, there is the competitions calendar. So if you are interested in getting started judging, I would start there. I would find a competition that's going on close to you, or if you're willing to travel, you know, someplace you'd like to travel to. I've taken two tasting exams in Richmond. You can look at that calendar, find a competition near you. The competition director's email is there. Just email them, hey, I want to judge for this. Or a lot of places will also have a website where you can go and register to be a judge. You don't have to be any kind of rank to sign up to be a judge.
You don't have to start as a steward.
Right. I do encourage people, if you're not sure about judging, then try stewarding first.
Yeah. But don't really, say you have to.
Right. Exactly.
That was always my thing at first. I thought you had to start.
Oh,
and I was like,
yeah,
I'm not doing that. And then they were like, oh, no, you don't have to. And I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, the website has some stats up there. And that, according to them, they have 13,321 sanctioned competitions.
Yeah, so there's a lot. And yeah, and that's all it takes to be able to sign up for, you know, for a homebrew competition. I would also say if you're interested in more competitions around you, like the competition calendar is a great way to start, because the only exam or the only competitions that are listed on the BJCP competition calendar are the ones that have been sanctioned by the BJCP. Sure. So yeah, you will get points for those. I also encourage people, like if you've got, find out who the homebrew clubs are near you. If they've got like, and I'm really trying to get off of Mark Zuckerberg's internet, but if there's like a Facebook group or something of, you know, this homebrew club, join that. And, or, you know, even just message them, hey, do you have a competition coming up? Stuff like that. Those are really the main ways. I would start with the BJCP competition calendar and just sign up.
Yeah.
Just do it. And I know there have been, I've spoken with mostly women who are like, well, I'm going to sign up to steward first so I can get like kind of figure it out. And I understand that. I understand that rationale. But at the same time, I have sat across the table from men who are judging because their buddy needed judges and they know nothing, yet they mm-hmm. somehow think that they are in charge of the table by dint of them being a man and me being a woman. So, you know, there's somebody, like whatever that saying is, like there's somebody out there who's doing a mediocre job, who has no intention of getting better, who is confidently doing that. Yeah. You can go in and start as a beer judge.
And it's easier than you think. You're going to get paired with somebody who has experience. They're not going to just like throw you in.
Yes.
And you're reading, you know how to read. So you're tasting the beer and you're lining it up to what you're reading on the paper. Like,
yes, that's it. That is what beer judging is.
Mm-hmm.
Does the beer in front of me taste like what the guidelines say it should taste like? And yes, you're correct. You are always, if you're a new judge, you're always paired up with an experienced judge. Experienced judge usually means you have at least a BJCP rank. The second time I judged in a homebrew competition, I was the judge with experience because I had judged once before, and that was one more time than the guy I was judging with. So, you know, and I've heard people who've gone through my beer judge training who have been like, yeah, I showed up at the competition and I was the head judge because, you know, I was the recognized BJCP judge or whatever. And I'm like, fucking good. You should be. So yeah, you're always paired with somebody who has experience, hopefully. And in, I think this is most people's experiences. Your experienced judge should be nice to you and they should help you fill out the score sheet. I know when I'm paired with people, you know, I kind of go through and tell them like, here's how I do it. Here's another way to do it. Figure out what works for you. If you have any questions, just ask me during the process. And then when we're finished judging and we're ready to discuss our scores, I always let them talk first. Like, okay, tell me what you think. And, you know, I do that for a couple of reasons. One, I want them to be confident in talking about what they're perceiving. And just from a judge point of view, I want to know what they think. So that way it's not like this beer is too hoppy or this beer isn't hoppy enough and somebody gets that confusing feedback, right? So I always let them start first and, you know, we'll talk through it. I know that I'm a good experienced judge to be paired with. I do know of people who have been paired with the experienced judge who's just a complete asshole. Mm-hmm. And I know of two different women who that was their first judging experience. And they both walked away and said, I will never judge again. And that really sucks, but I can't blame them. I was fortunate to have this wonderful woman be like the first person I judged with. And she was so helpful and so nice. She's also just kind of a real bubbly person. And if that, you know, so that was my first experience. My second judging experience where I was the head judge was terrible. The guy was fucking sexist. He paired me and the other one, meaning the other woman, paired us up to judge fruit beers because girls like fruit beers. If that had been my first experience, I probably would never have judged again. So I get that, but it does. Don't think that your experience is going to be that bad the first time, because that's, you know, those are two situations I've heard of. Obviously they suck and it sucks to be in that position. And that is something, if you find yourself in that kind of judging position, that is something that you should bring to the attention of the competition organizer and be like, hey, this person was an asshole to me. So they know, because they don't know if nobody tells them, right?
And we've seen judges not be invited back to GABF because mm-hmm. they've been assholes. And yep. we've spoke up, and I say we as in like our group of peers of Jen and I, and I know Jen knows who I'm talking about.
Yep.
And that guy wasn't there last year, was he?
Right. Yeah. And that is, you know, there's that kind of information is really important for competition administrators to know, because they're mm-hmm. not going to know otherwise. And, you know, there are also some judges, it's like, just because you're a national ranked judge, you got your rank back in like 1996.
You still can't be a dick.
Right. Exactly. And like, there is one judge actually in Charlotte who I believe is nationally ranked and is an asshole, and also just doesn't know that much and just isn't a very good judge. And one of the other like competition organizers in the area will always tell other competition organizers, do not invite that man. He is an awful judge. He's awful to judge with. He's like, he makes the judging table worse for being yeah. there. But, you know, on paper, it says that he's a national judge. So you're like, cool, we've got a national judge. Anyway, there needs to be some sort of like 360 feedback.
Yeah, and don't let us deter you with the bad stories. There's always going to be bad stories.
Right. Those are two bad stories. I've been judging for almost 10 years. Use BJCP
in the benefit of you.
Right, right. And understand that if you do have a poor experience, that should be a one-off. Yeah. And that shouldn't be your entire
experience. I haven't had too many poor experiences. But I'm very good at shutting people up or shutting it down or putting them in their place or saying no.
Right. Right. And I've definitely gotten more confident as time has gone on, especially like once I got to GABF, I'm like, I got invited to fucking GABF. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I deserve to be at this table the same way everybody else does.
Yeah, it's true. BJCP.org is the website to find all that information. I was just poking around at myself while we were looking, and we didn't tell you exactly how to get to everything, but there are really good resources on here for just education in general, no matter what you're studying in the beer life. So
yes, I would take a critical eye to some of the BJCP things, just because what we talked sure. about in terms of perceived gatekeeping and also perceived ability in terms of writing sure. information. Like looking through this study guide, I don't know if they've updated it since the last time I looked at it, but in like the section on taste, it talks about how your tongue is divided into five different distinct areas.
I mean, we could literally do a whole episode about all the mistakes we find in BJCP.
Yes.
But I found lots of mistakes in other resources too.
Some of them haven't been updated for a while yeah. and that's fine. But yeah, just, you know, if you're reading something from like 1993, maybe
yeah. take that into account.
Guidance. Yeah.
That's true with a lot of beer books, like brewers yes. publication books with styles and stuff. I find that to be true a lot, but
yeah,
you know, this information you're presented with, you just got to learn what's supposed, you know, weed through the good stuff or the bad stuff.
Yeah. And I will also say this is not really a plug because I give it away for free, but on the platform I use for my online beer judging course, which by the way, I do have an online beer judging course for purchase that is aimed at helping you get prepared for the BJCP online exam. It will help you for the other levels, but it's really geared toward that specifically. But I also have a kind of a course you can buy that's free, that's just called like free beer study resources. And all it is I've gone in and it's like, here's the PDF of the guidelines. Here's the PDF of the study guide. Here's the PDF of the judge manual. And that's why I give it away for free, because it's all free resources, but I've just consolidated them in one place rather than people having to go like stumble around through the BJCP website and be like, where do I find this stuff? If you go to jenblair.podia.com. That's where I have those free beer judge training resources. And like I said, it's not anything like super special, but it's just a place for where all of that information, you can find it without having to fumble around on the BJCP website. So thank you everyone for listening to my in-depth explanation of the BJCP. And that like, that's how hierarchical and like complex this organization is. It's definitely been like Frankenstein over the years. So it can be really hard to understand. Hopefully that helped some of you kind of demystify what that process is and where you need to go to get started. Even if you don't want to be a BJCP judge, definitely use it for one, those free resources, and also for the competition calendar. Just show up, just go judge somewhere. It's not going to be as scary as you think. It is. I described the first time I judged, which was just in my homebrew club, a little internal comp, but I described it as I would have basically the same feeling if I was sitting there topless. Like, I just felt very vulnerable and very exposed. I was like, I don't know. Like, I didn't even know about the BJCP app. And, you know, I was kind of like, ooh, I don't know what to do here. But I had other people in my club who were like, yeah, I'll show you how to fill out a score sheet. You know, you can find those kinds of resources. Anyway, BJCP, that's it. That's the overview. That's actually kind of like a through an underview as well. So thank you everyone for listening. Thank you, Rachel, for being here today. You can find us at falsebottomgirls.com. You can email us falsebottomgirls@gmail.com, and you can find us on social media at falsebottomgirls.
This has been False Bottom Girls,
and we make the brewing world go round. False Bottom Girls is proudly sponsored by Jasper Yeast, yeasts that are out of this world. Learn more about Jasper Yeast at jasperyeast.com.